Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. You know, Freems, I don't know if it was because I've just been so, like, anxious for the NBA to return. I've talked to you about this plenty of times. College, it takes me a while to get into college basketball, and even in February, I'm not, like, into it. I like the tournament, of course, but it takes me a while to get into it. Last night, for whatever reason, and maybe it was the hype around Duke, maybe it was Marquette, I got into it. I was watching the Marquette game, and at the end, they're talking about, you know, Butler needs this to happen and they could use a road win here. And I do like that. I like the teams that are on the bubble that are trying to get in and what they need to do. So I'm like, all right, I'm kind of into this one. But it was 90 minutes earlier that I thought, all right, you know what? I'm going to sit down and watch this game. Duke UNC. I don't really get into this rivalry. I don't make it appointment television. And I really haven't sat down and watched Zion Williamson play at all this year. I've seen highlights, but I haven't like made it a point to watch his game. So I turn on the TV, and within 38 seconds, Zion Williamson's on the ground and does not return to that game. A wild night in college basketball, and I think that's what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, today. I didn't watch Duke Carolina. I didn't watch a second of it because I was watching Marquette and Butler, and Marquette trailed early, and I thought I was going to flip back and forth. But when Marquette trailed early in that game against Butler, I'm like, okay, I got to watch this because they got a chance to move into first place. Butler, are they going to come in here and pull off the upset? And then on social media, you know, it explodes with the Williamson thing and, you know, the video and all that. And so I normally, and that North Carolina game, it didn't sound like it was much of a battle after Williamson went out and Carolina goes to Duke and easily wins and with Williamson out of the game. And you know, that steals the spotlight, the national spotlight about with Williamson going down, blowing out a sneaker, and then the knee injury that coupled with that. But I stuck with Marquette most of the night, and thankfully a big second half flurry, and now they move into first place in the Big East.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Zion Williamson here in a moment, but Marquette getting the 79-69 victory over Butler. Just one loss at Fiserv Forum yet this year. This one did look a little hairy. I was kind of watching the live line to see. I was going to take Marquette if they ever went plus, but I think the highest it got was even. You figured, okay, at some point Marquette's going to make a little bit of a run here. Second half, you're like, okay, you figure Marquette's going to make a little bit of a run here, and then they finally did. But Laval Jordan, friend of the show, former UW Milwaukee coach, comes in here, has his team ready. They're fighting for a tournament spot. Jerry Palm, another friend of show, does the bracketology on CBS. He's got them as one of the last teams in. We'll see how it shakes out. They're 15-12 now. But that's kind of what I get into. Teams that are sort of on the bubble, what they need to do, who they need to beat. They've got a big one against Villanova. And then for Marquette, I mean, they're comfortably in. And now it's just what seed are they going to get? And yeah, if the conference title is a big thing, they've got first place right now with Villanova losing last night. So Marquette rolling along. I think this is the kind of season that, you know, when Wojo was first hired, Marquette fans would hope would happen. And so far, it seems to be happening.
It's like when you're on that live line, you almost want the Bucks or Marquette at home when that jobber comes in this case, Butler. Okay, probably better than a jobber, but I mean a mid-carder. You know, when they come in, you almost want them to get an early 12-4 lead so that line does go plus Marquette. So you're getting as best odds as possible because you know Marquette is going to get back in that game. Ain't no way Butler's going to come in here and blow the doors off of Marquette, I suppose. But, I mean, highly unlikely. Same with the Bucks. You know, sometimes some of these teams have come in and got an early 12-point lead on the Bucks, and it goes all the way, you know, even money line on the Bucks, and you're like, oh, I'm all over that. Bucks are gonna come back from this 12-point deficit. Sometimes they do, most of the time they do, but you know, that aside, yeah, it was a big win for Marquette to come back and win that game. You know, Howard was great. Theo John had some big hoops. And boy, I don't know if you saw the end of the game, but with this new criteria in college basketball, that if teams keep a game within 10 points, that looks good on your NCAA resume, which I hate now, because now teams more than ever are playing that foul game when they're down by 12 and 13 points with a minute to go. And that Marquette game toward the end, the last 2 minutes, took forever because of it.
Okay, I did have the announcers. I heard them talking about that. I turned off the TV with about 2 minutes to go.
Oh, and the 2 minutes took
and went upstairs.
45 minutes. I was you know, ready to get ready for work the next day. I was going to get my clothes ready and all that. And 2.5 minutes later, with 2.5 minutes left, and still, I was walking around the house doing stuff. And, man, that game was still going on. And they were playing the foul game and timeouts. And it's like, God, they just won't give up. And sometimes, you know, when you're watching college basketball, it's like, come on. You're down 13 with a minute to go. But I suppose everybody's got in the back of their mind that Northern Iowa-Texas A&M game when A&M came back from a 14-point deficit with, 45 seconds left playing the foul game. So that with that less than 1% chance of happening, I guess that's why teams continue to do that.
I mean, if you've got a chance to still win the game, you gotta go for it.
Yeah, even though the probability is slim, and again, they want to kick that under 10 points to try to, you know. So I guess that, because Butler right now is a borderline NCAA tournament team, if that. And I guess that's the that's what they were saying on the broadcast last night, Pete Gillen.
Yeah, they were looking at the Jerry Palm projection. Yeah, so yeah. Jerry Palm, again, our friend of the show, has them right now as one of the last four in. And that is that I get into that. That's it's not quite the tournament, but I do get into that. Again, I was into college basketball last night. I just don't know if that was because I was itching for some basketball.
I think we're itching towards the madness, which is going to start I want to say a month from today or so. I think a month from today, the madness starts on the 21st of March. Well, I mean, they have the play-in games, but I really look at it Thursday when you get when you have those 16 games on the slate. That's when it all really kicks in. But, you know, we're itching toward those mid-major conference matchups, which start like in a week and a half or so.
Who was the guy that was on the Marquette call last night, the color guy?
Pete Gillen.
What did he do? What's his background?
Xavier, Providence, Virginia.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
No, I thought it was Jim Calhoun at first because Calhoun and he sound the same. No, I mean, I like Gillen. He's a pretty good coach in his day, but I didn't like him on the broadcast. Half the time, you couldn't understand him.
Well, then again, I'm like one of the few guys that don't like Bill Walton on the broadcast. In fact, I might be the only one in the world that doesn't like Bill Walton on the broadcast. So my preferences may be a little different.
What didn't you like about Gillen?
Than anybody else. I don't know. He seemed out of place to me. I'd never heard him before. I didn't like the voice, I guess.
Yeah, he's during college basketball, the tournament, he's mostly on radio, national radio. But he's Pete Gillen. That's the reason why he's on these broadcasts. He's been doing them for a couple of years, and I don't know. I get broadcasters are all personal preference. He's not a big preference of mine either.
So you didn't watch much of Duke UNC then?
No, just mostly Marquette, all Marquette actually. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I was pulled in because, you know, had Marquette popped out to a quick 15-point lead, then it's a different story. But Butler came in here and, you know, they got a 1-point lead at halftime. They're leading most of that first half. And you're thinking, oh boy, you know, Marquette, a chance to grab the Big East lead, and they're not going to fall at home, are they? And, you know, they put on that big run, two big runs in the second half.
Well, before the Marquette game really even started, that Duke UNC game was over. The Marquette game got pushed back on the tip just a few minutes. So I did flip to ESPN to watch Duke UNC. And within 38 seconds, the big story, Zion Williamson going down. You keep hearing the reports, blew out his shoe. Every time I hear someone say he blew out his, I'm thinking for them to say knee, but it's he blew out his shoe. He went through his Nike shoe. This is how it went down, ESPN.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe, and then he started holding his right knee. I mean, his shoe blew apart. I've never seen anything like that. Watch what he plants right here. His foot comes out of his shoe. That's unbelievable.
He broke his shoe with his own foot. But as you say, the injury does not appear to have anything to do with the left foot. He did reach for the back of the right knee. And if we get information, we'll pass it along as he gets some work done. Jack White has come into the game for Williamson.
If anybody else on the bench has a size 15 shoe, they better give it up right now.
I mean, to turn on a game with all that hype, with all that attention, with the atmosphere, with what we talked about yesterday, how tickets were going for $2,500. The former President Obama's in the front row. I mean, it's a big atmosphere. A lot of the sports world is watching this game last night. And then within 38 seconds, the main attraction goes down. It was like a surreal thing to have happen.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the highlights and all that, and I've seen the shoe blow out 1,000 times. It's one of those videos that if you watch it, you watch it again, you watch it again, you watch that shoe slowly crumble. And, I mean, a lot of different things out of that, the shoe thing. I mean, bad look for Nike.
Yeah.
Bad look for Nike. You know, these athletes, again, should they be paid to play? Which leads to another question about Williamson. Will he ever play another game for Duke? Or should he?
Now, we'll talk about that. And one thing we do not do on the show is, like, fake arguments, right? We don't script our thoughts. I feel like I know what you think, and I feel like you know what I think.
What do you think I think, first of all?
I think you think Zion Williamson should play again because it's college and his teammates, and college basketball is still important.
I'm starting to change my viewpoint on that because I think the college system is all screwed up. It is. And I can tell you about that when we get back from the break here because I used to be one of these guys who would come out here and just say, oh, you got to be there for your team. And yeah, I still feel that way. But the way the college game is going, football and basketball, I'm starting to turn the other way on that. And I know you want him to sit out, but we can get to this next.
Yeah, I don't even have to say it.
No,
you know
I know
him to sit out.
I know. Well, we've had this argument, you know, over the years. So, but I mean, and I'll explain to you why I'm sort of coming on the other side of that.
I don't even want to take a break. I want to get right into it. You've changed your opinion on something. This is remarkable.
Oh, no.
I am ecstatic.
No.
I'm over the moon.
You don't think I ever changed my opinion?
No.
I changed my opinion on Khalil Mack. Remember I said, no, don't give up 2 first-round picks? And that ink wasn't even dry in Chicago. And I'm like, damn, they should have given up 2 first-round picks for him.
Yeah, when you evolve on opinions, I love it.
No.
I love it.
Yeah, no. I've come around a little bit on this. I mean, I see both ends of the story, but God, I mean, so many. Just watching them go down last night, it's. I mean, it opens a bunch of different topics up with Williamson going down last night.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do because I'm so excited to hear from this from you. Our commercial break here is 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I will remove one of the promos. So it's only 3 minutes.
Okay.
So we get right into it.
Sounds good.
There's no time to waste.
Yeah.
Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
A layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe. Yeah.
Mild knee sprain. Knee is stable. We don't know how long he'll be out. It's crazy that the 2 games we've lost here, something's happened in the first part of the game. And the preparation that you would have for the game is obviously based on your players being there.
That's Coach K after Duke loses to UNC last night. Pretty wild night of college hoops. Nevada goes down, number 6 in the country. Villanova goes down, Marquette with the win, so they're atop the Big East right now. And then North Carolina goes to Cameron Indoor and wins 88-72, but that entirety of the game changed when Zion Williamson, the superstar in college, projected number 1 overall pick in the NBA after a one-and-done projected season, they win 88-72 and Zion now leaves. We'll find out a full report, a full update on just how hurt he is. It seems like he'll be able to come back if he wants to. And the question is, throughout sports today, if you're Zion Williamson, do you return? I came in figuring that I would say I would not return if I was him, and I came in figuring Chuck would say, yes, I would return, but you're not entirely there at this point?
Here's what it is, too. These guys do have to look out for themselves, but where does it end? We've had players sit out of bowl games, not major bowl games, but mid-level bowl games, because they're concerned if they get hurt in those games that it might hurt themselves.
Well, McCaffrey in the Rose Bowl.
In the draft. Well, I mean, like the Final Four.
Sure,
nobody's really sat out the Final Four of college football.
Sure.
You know, those games. So, but we've never had really anybody sit out the NCAA basketball tournament and say, hey, okay, all right, I'm not going to play in the NCAA tournament because it's going to, if I get hurt, okay. But so where does it end? Does a player play midseason? Like Zion Williamson has nothing really to play for at Duke except for playing for the university. So, I mean, he could have hung it up weeks ago, quit school or whatever, and he still would have been the number one player in the draft.
It's kind of like, Chuck, it's kind of like Deal or No Deal, you know? You know that game with Howie Mandel?
Yeah.
With the briefcases? So when you're playing Deal or No Deal, you're trying to get the most money possible. And the banker will keep giving you, you know, a sum. But if the banker's offer to you isn't as high as the highest offer you can get, you're tempted to keep playing and get the highest offer. For Zion Williamson, the highest offer is there. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. So if he plays over these next 4 weeks or whatever, if he can, there's nothing for him to really play for in that sense. There's nothing for him to improve upon. So he should really just take the deal and get out of there and stop playing college basketball. The only reason for anyone to make an argument for him to continue to play is the importance of playing for Duke with his teammates for a national championship. But again, when you have a one-and-done like system, when you're a school that recruits that way, like Duke, where you're just trying to win these championships with guys that are going to be there for a year, this is something that is going to pop up as a possibility. Zion Williamson, for his own sake, doesn't need to play. Now, you know, 20, 30 years ago, when guys would go to college for 4 years and you had the rivalries develop between, you know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and all this stuff, it was different. The whole landscape of the sport was different. Now, I mean, when you're a college athlete and you've got all that money sitting there, why would you risk that? We saw Jabari Parker, a couple of knee injuries, how that threw off his career here in the pros. If this injury is even any worse than just blowing out his shoe and having his size 15 feet going through his Nike shoe, I wouldn't take that risk. I know that playing for a national championship is something that is romantic and idealistic, but if I am Zion, I'm gonna protect myself and make sure that I don't lose out on the pro career ahead of me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a mid-level guy and you have no shot at going to the NBA, then okay, the little different story. If he's, you know, Joe Schmo out there blowing out a sneaker. But Zion, who's got millions on the line, I used to be the guy who would come out here and say, oh, no, you got to be there for your team. And I get that totally. Because Coach K, he's kind of turned, too, on that one-and-done deal. He used to be the guy at Duke who was criticizing Calipari for one-and-dones. And then Coach K, in his old age, you know, he's 73, realized 5 years ago, or so, that, you know what, hey, this one and done, so this is what we got to do in college basketball.
Coach K's 73?
He's got to be 70. I think he's 73.
Wow.
Either that or early 70s, but I thought he was 73. So, but Coach K, you know, he was critical of Calipari all those years, but then he realized, hey, you know what, I got to get the one and done. Jabari Parker, one and done. These are the kind of guys who I got. Williamson, he knew Williamson was going to be one and done. This is the way it's got to be in college basketball. I got to change with the times. And I feel, too, that, okay, before when I thought these guys had to be there, but then where does it end? Should Williamson, after a couple of college games, shut her down? are guys going to start shutting it down once they get to the tournament? Because really, what more? Williamson has nothing to gain by playing in Duke, North Carolina, except he's got everything to lose, like his knees. All right? I mean, they say mild knee sprain, but it could have been a lot worse. What if the guy blows out his knee completely? But still, you could blow out your knee completely. It's not like he was never going to play basketball again. He could blow out his knee completely, and guys have done that just playing in a pickup game with his buddies.
Even without the injury last night or the situation last night, I mean, this should still have been a thing that, you know, he thought about, because there's still the risk of that. And you are, every time he steps out there, he's risking, you know, millions of dollars if something does happen. I tweeted out last night on our fan account at 105.7 FM, The Fan, the video of it. And I said, not only will Zion not return tonight, if I'm him, I'm not returning at all. And there was a little conversation I had, a friendly one, with a guy, Jay Stern 3 on Twitter. He says, so nobody with pro talent should ever play until they get to the pros. I'm sure that will end well for anyone. Zion's own teammates are projected to go top 10. Injuries are a part of the game no matter the level you add. If you say they shouldn't play, the chain reaction of that mentality would ruin the sport, creating another problem. I think we're into the ruin the sport aspect. If you look at college basketball now to, again, where it was just when I was growing up watching it in the late 80s, early 90s, I mean, you don't go there for 4 years. You don't. It's a different landscape now.
Yeah, it's a basketball factory. It is. These guys are going. I mean, not all, but and some don't even want to play college basketball. They want to go right to the pros, but they, you know, they got to play in the college game, and he does, and he's basically putting in his time. And guys will, after the NCAA tournament, when they're done after that first year, and they know they're going to the NBA. They won't even go for class anymore. They won't show up for class. They barely show up for class during the, you know, once they're a student at the university. But if you got some cash on the line, where does it end? Because some of those other guys on Duke could say the same thing. You know what? I'm going to be a top 15 pick. Why should I be playing? If Zion's not going to play anymore, hell, why should I ruin my top 15 selection by playing? And the trickle effect would go on, and you're going to have guys, I think, in the future, maybe even after last night, with that being an eye-opener, why should I play in the NCAA tournament?
799-1250.
Why should I play in the conference tournament, Bart? Why should I even play any of these games? Should I fake an injury? Because, yeah, I mean, that injury, I think a lot of guys, Bart, in coming out of high school, and guys who are in the college game who are going to be in the draft this coming summer, looked at that and say, man, that could be me.
Yeah, if I was Zion Williamson, honestly, the moment that I was projected the number one pick, I would probably say, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, and who to be blaming you too, because, and but then that's going to, it is going to ruin the college game, but that's just where we are with college sports. When all this money is on the line, Bart, again, a top 15 guy, if he blows out his knee, where does he slide? Second round, and look, he loses all that guaranteed money coming out.
Right, these guys should be looking out for themselves. People telling them, hey, but if you do this, you're going to ruin the college. Like, they shouldn't care about that.
And on the other hand, okay, then this opens up this box. Should Zion Williamson, who all he really gets out of this is a pair of shoes, no pun intended after last night, but, you know, he's not getting paid. College players aren't getting paid. Would that beg the question in the future that's going to expedite the process of maybe these guys getting paid so they play?
You've seen guys like Brandon Jennings go overseas first. Some of these guys are wanting to go to the G League first if they can. The NBA may be looking at this rule, but, yeah, this does open a whole Pandora's box. Let's get
Giannis
out to...
too. Giannis never played college basketball.
Right, different situation,
yeah,
overseas.
But he was overseas already, but yeah.
414-799-1250, Mike in Sussex. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. The whole thing I've been thinking, this is pretty pathetic. I don't usually start following the college game till around this time, tournament time. I never even heard of Zion Williamson, to be honest with you. But I consider myself a pretty informed sports fan. But having said all that, the thing that I think if I'm Zion Williamson is the next time I lace up a pair of Nikes, I'm going to wrap that sucker in some duct tape or get some custom-made shoes, man.
Or maybe never wear Nikes ever again. Now, Nike came out right after the game. Nike came out last night after the game and issued a statement talking about how, you know, concerned they are, and they're going to look into what happened with the sneaker. But, man, you got a national TV and all the top sportscasts last night that, you know, there it is, Nike, that sneaker blowing out. Who wants to wear a Nike sneaker if you're playing basketball if you see that happen to you?
I've had the side of a shoe blow out that I've worn for like 10 years, but not a brand new pair.
In the first 30 seconds of a game?
That's kind of a scary proposition. And like you said, if millions of dollars are on the line, wow, they better get that figured out at Nike.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. I mean, you make a cut like that, Bart. You're that shoe shouldn't. I mean, either he's got such tremendous strength that shoe can't hold Zion, the exploding shoe, or, you know, the best player in college basketball better not have a shoe that blows out like that.
Somebody asked me last night that if Zion is hurt badly, is there a chance he falls enough in the draft that the Bucks could get him? And I said, for Zion to fall to the Bucks, he would have to, like, lose a leg.
Yeah.
Dude's going number one.
Yeah, if they announce they're amputating that knee, that right knee today, okay. Yeah. Then he might slide to the Bucks.
You still take him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you still take him.
I take half of Zion.
Yeah. But, no, he will still be the number one overall pick. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. So an interesting story. We'll find out the results of just how bad he's hurt and what it does to college basketball, the landscape, not just this season, but possibly moving forward. And we'll bring that to you throughout the next couple of days. Chuck and Winkler again, served up by Perkins here on The Fan. We're going to talk some baseball coming up. There's still some free agents out there. All right, Bryce Harper's available. Dallas Keuchel's available. Craig Kimbrell's available. Why? And who is in on these guys? We'll talk to Bob Nightingale, USA Today. We'll talk some Brewers with him as well coming up. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
Turn it up. I feel like we had some unfinished business after last year. This is, a great place to play baseball. I've got a bunch of friends on this team. It's a great city. They love the Brewers, and I loved playing here last year. It was a lot of fun, and you know, I feel like we fell a little bit short, obviously, but I feel like this team can get back to where we were at last year and make a push for that World Series.
Mike Moustakas back with the Brewers. Two practices in the books. A little bit of rain down there in Phoenix today, but they'll be all right. Chuck and Winkler here from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios here on The Fan. We'll talk some Brewers, some Mike Moustakas, some Bryce Harper, and more with Bob Nightingale, USA Today, who joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Oh, it's great to get you aboard here. I want to ask you right off the top here about Mike Moustakas. Why did it take so long for Moustakas to sign a deal? What was the was there any other multi-year offers out there? Not what he wanted. Give us a lowdown on how this all went down with Moustakas.
Yeah, for Moustakas, it's deja vu. Remember last year, he was a late signing, finally ended up with the Royals. Not that for sure, you know, he would, you know, I'm sure he did too. He'd get at least a 4-year deal, maybe even a 5-year deal for what he did and the power he produces. So, you know, I don't know if he was looking for too much early on or what, but, you know, so teams like the Brewers were patient and got him at the price. You know, he still got $10 million, which is a nice high annual average value, but just a 1-year deal, you know, is a great, great fit for the Brewers.
One thing that we probably haven't talked a lot about, since the Brewers have had to go out and make a lot of these moves, like last year, and the year before that they've had to spend some money, they've had to spend some of their prospects. So at one point, they had like the number one farm system in Major League Baseball. Now I think they have maybe one or two in the top 100 prospects in all the minor leagues. How do the Brewers go about rebuilding? Is this a cyclical thing? Because they got to start rebuilding that franchise, the minor league system now, too.
Yeah, very much cyclical. It's almost like, you know, when the White Sox kept going for it and weren't winning, mm-hmm. So then they trade away, you know, Chris Sale and Adam Eaton, those type of guys. Then all of a sudden they had a good farm system. So, you know, it's a very, very rare to have a great major league team and a great farm system. I mean, for years, the San Francisco Giants were ridiculed for having a bad farm system. Well, they won 3 World Series in 5 years. Who cares? Sometimes you trade away prospects to get those proven guys, you know, like a Christian Yelich. I mean, is anybody crying now that they gave away prospects to Miami? Those guys haven't done anything. You know, the prospects, the Boston Red Sox trade for Chris Sale, you know, they haven't done anything either. So a lot of times you use those guys for just for chips and get proven players.
You know, there's still some guys out there, and with Machado signing, that's when we expect some of these more dominoes to fall, I guess. Do you think the Brewers are done at this point? I mean, Dallas Keuchel's a name that's been floated out there. I think I would love to see that. I just, financially, the Brewers seem to want us to think they're stretched pretty thin.
I could see a Gio Gonzalez there, because you can probably get him for 1 year, 2 years max, maybe $8 to $10 million sort of thing. So I think he's fallen through the cracks. I'm with you. I don't see them spending $90-$100 million on Keuchel. And Keuchel, you know, the fastball has dropped off and everything else. Obviously, he'd be better in the National League, without the DH. But still, there's concerns just about the arm and everything else. I think Gio Gonzalez makes great sense there.
Okay, so that's the reason why Keuchel has not been signed yet? People are concerned the fastball's dipped off a little bit?
Yeah, it dipped off a lot. You know, he doesn't get those strikeouts like he used to. He's not that dominant guy. Granted, he knows how to pitch, a smart guy, very good in the clubhouse, good leader, but just he's not dominating like he used to. So that's what scares people.
Talking with Bob Nightingale, MLB reporter, USA Today. Bob, with this Manny Machado situation, the Padres, I guess, they were sort of the secret team, but they've sort of been building something there with their farm system, with Hosmer last year. Does this signing make, do we have to take them seriously right now, or is it still maybe a year or two away for them?
Yeah, I think we're still a year or two. I think really more toward 2021. I mean, their pitching staff is still kind of in shambles. I think if everything went right, they finished third behind the Dodgers and Rockies. So at least it gets people excited in the city, sell some tickets, that sort of thing. A lot of money committed. They want him to be the anchor of that infield. So they're spending money and people are happy. Got a lot of prospects. But, a lot of those prospects, won't make it either. Not all these guys are going to make it.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. The other big name still out there, Bryce Harper. It seems like the Phillies are the target there, but it almost seems like, are they bidding against themselves right now, and when do we expect that to go final?
Yeah, they are bidding against themselves. I mean, the only team involved, the Giants, they just want to go short-term. Now there's an ego thing, too, like you want to get more than Machado. Maybe he takes less years but gets, more money per year to satisfy that. For a while, the White Sox out there bidding against themselves. Then the Padres jumped in there, with huge offers over the weekend. So things can change in a hurry. But right now, I think the Phillies badly want this guy. And I think they'd be kind of embarrassed if they don't get him, because they've been so outspoken about, wanting to be aggressive in the market. And as much as they have done, if they don't get Harper, their fan base is going to think it was a rotten offseason.
How is Craig Kimball? How is he unsigned? I mean, all these relievers in past years, Chapman got paid, Jansen, Wade Davis. How is Kimbrel still unsigned? I don't quite get that either.
I think he made a big mistake early on. We were looking for 6 years over 100. Obviously, he's got numbers. I think scared teams off and say, we're not going to give him $100 million, so we're not even going to bother calling. And now teams have got the relievers, made their expenditures. It really hurt him that the Boston Red Sox said, we don't want to spend that money on him, because, we're so far over the luxury tax, you have to pay the highest penalty. So, for instance, if you pay him a one-year deal, even for 18, it costs him $28 million. So I think he ends up in Atlanta's lap on a one- or two-year deal. I think they're playing it smart, and he's going to just fall right through the cracks and go back home to the Braves.
The way the roster stands now, outside of anything shocking, I would think, the Reds, they're at least trying, the Pirates. But it's Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers. Who's your favorite right now in the NL Central?
It's so close to call. Just because of track record, I give the Cubs a slight nod, thinking, Darvish is going to produce more than one win. Chris Bryant's not going to be, injured all year, off and on like he was. Brandon Morrow, Montgomery. Just a lot of things went wrong for those guys that still won 95 games. But that being said, you still see the Brewers, win this thing by five games. You can see the Cardinals doing the same thing with their great pitching staff. So I think it's going to be a tremendous race. I don't think Cincinnati's done enough or Pittsburgh to compete with those three. But I keep seeing going the last 2 weeks of the season, all three teams, being within two or three games of one another.
Bob Nightingale on Twitter, B Nightingale, always coming up with some of the latest stuff. It was one of the first with the Moustakas contract. Again, the 7 million this year and then a $3 million option. So essentially, I should say, a $10 million deal. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, and we're busy man, so we thank him for his time. Regarding Bryce Harper and Dallas Keuchel, put a poll up last night that must have got hacked in terms of who Brewer fans would have rather have if money's not an option, unless this is how you really feel. We got to discuss and explore that coming up momentarily. The weather yesterday wasn't as bad as we thought, and my home haven't had the big issues that some of the other people I see on the news with leaking roofs and leaking pipes, burst pipes, have had. No polar vortex destruction at my house, thank goodness. But again, watching the news, I know others didn't fare so well. I was checking out Hippo Insurance, myhippo.com, a new home insurance company that does things a little bit differently. They've got blogs up there, tell you how to prevent the pipes bursting. Honestly, it's something that I never even think of until I saw the news. And then, you know, we took the steps after reading myhippo.com that we need to do about that. When things happen at your home, see, you think, okay, well, my home insurance will cover it. But have you ever looked at your home insurance policy? Do you even know at all what's in there? A lot of these policies were written 50 years ago. And it's, you know, coverage on rare coins and fine china and the things that people were worried about back in the day. Some of these policies don't have the mechanical breakdown or replacement coverage for appliances, the water, the HVAC system, even some of the newest stuff that we all have in our homes now, like televisions and computers and laptops. And surprisingly, people do find out that water backup coverage, typically not included either. What you want to do is get a modern home insurance. That's why you got to go to myhippo.com. 60 seconds, you'll get a quote. That's it. And they will save people up to 25% on their premiums when you modernize your coverage and automate the process. Again, if you do one thing for yourself during all this bad weather, the pipe bursting season, which is here, the roof leaking season, which is here, go to myhippo.com. Spend 60 seconds finding out how you can get better coverage for less on home insurance. If nothing else, check out the blogs. Get some tips. All free pointers from myhippo.com with Hippo Insurance. Again, they can save you up to 25%. So not only will they modernize your coverage and cover what you actually want covered with some of the water stuff and the computers and that kind of stuff, but you can save up to 25% with myhippo.com. Check it out. myhippo.com. Bryce Harper or Dallas Keuchel? You think it's an easy question for Brewers fans? We guess not. Chuck and Winkler next. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler, Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Bryce Harper still unsigned. We talked to Bob Nightingale about that. Dallas Keuchel as well. Now, Keuchel could be a more realistic target for the Brewers. Bryce Harper, probably not, but we flirted with the topic yesterday just for a moment. So last night I did tweet out a poll. I said, pretend money is not an object. Who would you rather see the Brewers sign? Again, money is not an object. Who would you rather see the Brewers sign? Dallas Keuchel, pitcher with the Astros last year, or of course, Bryce Harper. 1,500 votes. Freems, a guess on the results?
Well, I would say Bryce Harper. Because, I mean, he is the most coveted guy out there.
And how big of a margin do you think he would win by?
I want to say by 75%.
So 75% would Harper. Say money, not maybe, an object.
Maybe. That might be on the light end. I'm going to say 85%.
85% you think money would not be an object.
Yeah.
Brewers fans would say Harper over Keuchel. Well, unless my poll got hacked, Brewers fans say differently. 53% of the 1,500 people that voted say Dallas Keuchel.
Hmm.
Over Bryce Harper. Now, sometimes on Twitter, when I see a poll where I think there's an obvious answer, I will vote for the other one just to kind of mess with the poll.
Okay.
And there are some people that tweeted me and said, I was just voting Keuchel as a goof. But then there's other guys like Luke says, I voted for Keuchel because I don't want Bryce's type of ego in Milwaukee. We have his talent in Christian Yelich, but Harper carries himself in a much more or much less professional fashion than Bryce Harper. So there's a kind of a stigma around Bryce Harper. But if money's not an object and you can pick between one of the two, you take You take the superstar over the pitcher that might give you a couple decent years.
When you think of when you hear Harper talk, it's like he feels like everybody should stand an attention to hear the great Bryce Harper talk. Like he's you know, he's like a 15-time All-Star. And all rise, Harper's got something to say.
Yeah, really? You feel that?
I feel that way.
I don't ever hear Harper talk. Yeah. Baseball doesn't market their stars in a way to hear. The only time I hear Harper talk is in the All-Star game when they mic him up for an inning.
Well, I mean, I've heard him talk when Washington's been a town here and you know, interviewed him and all that. I'm not one-on-one interview, but with the rest of the, you know, the media pack there. And I just feel that said, the way I've seen him handle himself, that's my impression of him. But that said, you know, the more I hear about Keuchel, and I want Keuchel, I'd like to have him here.
I would too.
But you hear, like, Nightingale came on our show this morning, and he said that, you know, that Keuchel may have lost a little bit off his fastball, okay? And, you know, maybe that's they're scaring some teams off, and it's just not, he's not just as effective as he was a few years ago. So when I hear that, there's a reason why Keuchel remains unsigned. Otherwise, a guy like that, you would think a top of the rotation guy would have been signed already. There's the word out on the street there that maybe Keuchel, this Dallas Keuchel, isn't the Keuchel that there was a few years ago. But Harper, you know, even though he had a down season last year, the guy is still there's a reason why he's getting, you know, $300 million out there and Keuchel probably a three- or $60 million deal. Yeah, the Brewers could definitely use some pitching, but you could never pass up all things, finances and all that created equal, like you put on that poll, you got to go Harper.
Yeah, if money's not an object, you take the better guy.
Yes.
So why did 53% of Brewers fans vote Keuchel? Well, there are some people that think Harper's too much of an ego. There are some people that are trying to look at this from a practical, Brewers need pitching over Harper. But I think for the most part, I think the poll got hacked.
I feel like this.
Let's just say these results are not scientific.
Yeah. I mean, when you got guys telling you, too, that they voted on purposely, and you haven't done that, you said.
I do it all the time.
So, I mean, so then what's the validity? There's no validity in the poll then, but people are doing that sort of thing.
No.
Okay, now, Machado, I honestly think, if you tell Brewer fan, hey, you know what? You could have had Machado at the league minimum, $1 million. Brewer fan would be, no. We can't have that guy on our team.
He's not a Milwaukee guy.
He'd be going to war with Aguilar every game.
Yeah, dude, I hate Machado so much. I'll take him.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. But I'm telling you, you put that poll out there, you might have a 50-50 proposition there.
I hate Anthony Barr. He injured Aaron Rodgers. He's a free agent.
I'll take him. Yes.
You kidding me?
Yeah, you'd want that guy on your side.
Yeah, I'll take him. Yeah. Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, these guys are hotheads, divas. Are they talented?
Sure.
I'll take them.
Popovich, do I like his act? No. But if the Bucks needed a coach, I'd take Pop in a second.
Did you just say Pop a bitch?
Huh?
I thought you said Pop a bitch.
No. Oh. No, Pop. No, Pop.
Popovich.
Popovich.
Okay.
Popovich. VVV.
Yeah.
Popovich.
It's Chuck and Winkler. I wasn't sure. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bucks Celtics tonight, TNT. We'll hear a little bit from George Hill. He was on the airwaves last night. And Kyrie Irving, he's pissed. He got busted talking to Kevin Durant, potentially about going to New York. We'll have the update on that, too. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.